Welcome into Bucks Insider, presented by Verizon. Casey Phillips here with senior writer and editor Scott Smith. We are continuing on our off-season journey here. We're getting so much closer to the draft, so much closer to knowing this final roster, what it looks like.
We're in a little bit of a lull right now.
Yes, that's true. But there was still some news since our last show, especially we had to do our last show a little early because I was heading out on the Bucks cruise, which was a blast, by the way. And they've already announced next year's cruise, so people need to hop on that.
Maybe I'll go.
It's going to be great. I think you should. I was pitching that you and I do a panel together where all the people can ask us all the things. I feel like that would be a lot of fun. So since our last show, the Buccaneers announced the signing of Randy Gregory. So, Scott, tell me some of your initial thoughts on this signing.
You know, it's kind of – it's that one guy that you pick up a little bit later in free agency that ends up being, you know, an important part of your rotation. Not the guy you sign right away, right off the bat. And in this case, it's Randy Gregory. The Buccaneers obviously had a need at edge rusher with having to release Shaq Barrett for cap reasons. They still could address that in the draft, maybe even the first round, but this does give them a little more flexibility. And this is a guy who's a very athletic guy. He's had some ups and downs in his career, as he said, both on and off the field. But last year, he actually, for the first time in his career, played a full season, like every game. It happened to be with two different teams because he got traded from Denver to San Francisco. And then, of course, San Fran made it all the way to the Super Bowl. So he played like 20 games, and that's kind of a big step for him because various injuries or whatever reasons had kept him from doing that throughout his career. And this is a guy that could probably, he says he doesn't expect to come in and start, but he expects to, you know, just be a part of the rotation and be, you know, help the younger guys because it's a young room, help them grow and learn. And you know, and I think it's a good value signing that gives the Bucks some flexibility in the draft.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting. And so now, I mean, at this point, where does our outside linebacker rotation stand? And is this still a thing that you feel like, did this impact, you know, the draft and what they're going to be looking at?
I don't think that it would stop the Bucks from drafting an edge rusher at 26 if one they like makes it that far. I still think that's a need. However, it does, you know, even before the signing of Randy Gregory, Coach Bowles was saying they do like the guys that they have, and he was pointing out guys like Marquise Watts and Jose Ramirez, who they really are high on. And Marquise didn't get to play a whole lot, and Jose Ramirez was on the practice squad the whole year. But those guys could be part of the rotation this year. But, you know, talking again about Randy Gregory and what he brings, it's not a very experienced group. I mean, he comes in as the guy with the most career sacks of everybody in that group. And you would expect probably that Joe and Yaya would be your starters. And of course, Yaya only has 7.5 sacks because he's only played one season, and Jose Ramirez didn't get to play. So some of those have to do with opportunities, but still, you are talking about a guy who's done it in the league.
Yeah, that's going to be great. And we talked about all the time how Shaq was such a big influence in that room. So to lose him, it wasn't just about his on-field production, but the leadership veteran role. And Randy Gregory's been around the league long enough that I think he can offer a lot of that to the guys, which is going to be interesting.
Also, apparently very well-liked in the locker rooms and the teams he's
been
on. So hopefully he fits right in.
Yeah, we always love to hear that. All right, so looking at that, knowing, as we talked about, it's a bit of a lull right now. We've had the majority of free agency happen. The draft is upcoming. Knowing that the Bucks sort of always have a to-do list each offseason of things they want to accomplish, where do you think they stand at this point?
I think they're probably about 95% done, not counting the draft, in terms of free agency. You know, they immediately or close to immediately got ticked off all the items on their own list. You know, your Levantes, I don't have to go through it all, but Mike Evans, Baker, Antoine, et cetera. And then they've made the signings like Randy Gregory, the two corners, and the two guards. And I think they've hit the positions that look like needed some depth on the depth chart. And by doing so, and bringing in guys that really, they've said, Coach Bowles and Jason Light have both said that those guys, Ben Breederson, and Sua Opeta, and Tevier Thomas, and Bryce Hall, those are the guards and the corners in order, will have an opportunity to fight for a starting job or a particularly, you know, big role in the rotation. So they're comfortable with where they are at those positions, which gives them, I've said it a couple times already, but some more flexibility with their first few picks in the draft.
Yeah, that's
a big deal. Don't feel forced into taking the sixth guard or the eighth cornerback.
And so now knowing also the idea of, you know, Antoine Winfield, he's locked down in terms of at least being tagged. But I'm sure that the long-term deal is going to be a big goal. And then same thing with Tristan Wirfs of you know you want to lock that guy down, which also, congrats to him on having a baby.
Yeah.
That has happened, I believe, since our last show. And so congratulations to him and Meredith.
That's great. Yeah, that's what I should have mentioned when I said I think they're about 95% done. Still to do on the checklist is sign Antoine Winfield to a long-term contract, and you could see there were eight guys who got the franchise tag, and already six of them have re-signed. T. Higgins and Antoine are the only ones who haven't, but I don't think that's a bad sign or anything. I think they're making good progress. There was a report yesterday, and it wasn't from the Buccaneers, that there's optimism about it getting done. So I think it's just a matter of figuring out some of the details. And then Tristan Wirfs, can you possibly imagine the Bucs not getting a deal done with Tristan Wirfs?
No. I cannot.
It's got to happen, yeah. Right? So those things still have to be done, but I feel pretty confident they will get done.
Yes. And so as you talk about draft still upcoming, one of the big things that is currently happening part of the draft mm-hmm. is you have those top visits where yeah. you hear, oh, so-and-so's visiting this team, so-and-so's visiting this team. So let's talk about what we – sometimes these get released, sometimes they don't. You never really know who all the visits are happening,
right.
And sometimes they end up drafting guys that didn't visit, which
yes.
I always love the sneakiness of that. But what do we know at this point in terms of – who some of those visits are and anything you've been able to glean from what that means?
I actually looked at at least the ones that were confirmed in the press last year, because the Bucs don't confirm their top 30 visits these days. And the only guy that I saw on a list of those who had a top 30 visit with the Bucs was Trey Palmer, that we actually drafted, the
yep.
Nebraska receiver drafted in the sixth round. So it doesn't, I mean, when you see these reports, don't assume that these are definitely the guys that the Bucs are honed in on. And also sometimes they didn't get drafted by the Bucs, perhaps in part because they just didn't get an opportunity. They didn't make it to their
mm-hmm.
pick. But they still like to get information on these guys for down the road. Like, just give you an example. Todd Bowles with the Jets, they did a lot of work on Baker Mayfield when they were drafting. They didn't get a shot at him because he went first
mm-hmm.
overall. But when it came time to find a guy last year to compete for the starting job after the retirement of Tom Brady, Todd Bowles already had a really good feeling about
mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield because of the work they've done on him. So they can bring in guys and visit with them just to get to know them better, because somewhere down the road they may be interested in them. So, you know, like I said, the Buccaneers don't confirm visits, but there are reports out there, and there's numbers of websites that track these top 30 visits, and I think you can probably consider they're pretty accurate. And some of the reports include a couple of linebackers, which is a position
mm-hmm.
I think the Buccaneers need, maybe not in the first round. Edrin James. I love the name Edrin. Texas
fun.
A&M. Trevin Wallace from Kentucky, and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Those are all guys that are probably going to go on day two,
mm-hmm.
either second or third round. You also see a running back on there, Jonathan Banks.
This is
all old call-outs.
Old people, I love it. That your brain just went right into the Rolodex.
Yes,
and pulled them
speaking
out.
Of old people. Jonathan Brooks, the Texas running back's visit. Keon Coleman from Florida State, the wide receiver. Kool-Aid McKinstry, probably a first-round cornerback. And a guy that you could see on the second day as an outside edge rusher, Marshawn Nealon from Western Michigan.
Interesting. Okay, and then also the next step in the off-season journey is that the off-season is essentially ending. It's the way we start to look at it, is that the off-season workout program is about to begin. And so even though, again, it's not going to look a whole lot like football happening for a little while.
Yeah.
Take us through where we're at on the calendar of what the team is and is not allowed to do at this point.
I think most people know this by now, but just to go over it again, there's three phases that the NFL allows during the workout plan, and they last a total of 9 weeks. The first phase is really just strength and conditioning work. The position coaches can't even go out on the field with the players, just the strength and conditioning. So they have a little bit of meeting time during the day and a little bit of time to work on the field and strength and conditioning drills. Phase two, the coaches can now go on the field, but they can't do like offense versus defense. It's what they call perfect play drills or individual position drills. And then finally, phase three is where you have the OTAs, organized team activity days. And that looks like a real practice, except as is the case with all of this program, no pads except for like knee pads
mm-hmm.
and no contact, no on purpose. I mean,
right.
every now and then a guy runs into a guy, but no planned contact. And it's all voluntary except for the very last bit of it, which is a 3-day mini camp in June. Now, the Buccaneers tend to get pretty good attendance, and that will probably be the case this year, in part because it's a very young team, and the young guys tend to show out more, and in part because it's Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of guys live here, and it's a nice place to be. So,
yeah.
I think that the Bucs will probably get like 90% attendance.
Okay. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us on this edition of Bucs Insider presented by Verizon. We're also going to be shooting a Road to the Draft, so if you want more draft information, stick around for that as well. And otherwise, we'll see you next week.